With you, it's another week of Play by Play presented by our friends at The Advocate, along with our producer Harrison Valentine. This is the illustrious Kent Lowe. We've got so much to cover this week, a lot of things happening. This is the part of the year where there are so many teams that are finishing up as well as just getting started. And right now, LSU, you just can't avoid the headlines. LSU is, in the immortal words, is all they do is win, win, win. So we're going to try to run that down for you. We're going to start with LSU baseball, who made a trip once again to Minute Maid Park for the Astros Foundation College Classic. Really, three solid games, three solid wins. The Tigers now 11-1 on the season. They were crowned the champion of the Classic this year. Had a battle with Texas, got the win, got some separation late. Got a win over UL Lafayette in a pretty hotly contested matchup. And then on Sunday, pulled away and got the win over Texas State 10-5. But really a chance, Ken, I think, for Jay Johnson to learn a lot more about his team as they stepped up in competition and found different ways to win. And they had solid pitching for the most part throughout the weekend.
Yeah, and a great trip. Went over there. It's always good to get on the road for the first time and play a few games. Great crowd for the Texas game on Friday night. And great weekend. They beat Rice earlier in the week in Houston. So a good week and a great continued start for this team as they move forward with another road game Tuesday night before they come back home.
Yep, they got Southeastern on the road in Hammond, USA. That one will be a 6 o'clock first pitch on Wednesday. And then a three-game set with Xavier coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Kent mentioned it, over 24,000, largest single-game crowd for that Texas-LSU game. And, you know, watching it from my hotel room this past weekend in Nashville, it was predominantly purple and gold. I think over 21,000 for the game against the Tigers and Cajuns. So, again, as Coach Johnson, I think, told the media, it's great to come over here and play this type of competition. It's also great to play in one of the largest alumni bases in the country in Houston, not only for the fans, but also a hot recruiting bed for college baseball. So it was a win-win weekend all the way around for LSU baseball. LSU softball, by the way, they just keep winning as well. The only undefeated team as we sit here today in the country. Beth Tarina and the Tigers are off to a fantastic start and really doing it all. I mean, super talented team. They got, I think, a lot of depth at pitching. Done a great job in the circle. And, you know, as they lead up to what's always going to be a tough SEC, I think Beth Tarina's got this team rolling early.
19-0, Chris, and winning twice Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Some tough games, some tough opponents, and were able to come through very nicely and win all their games there. Waiting to hear on Danica Coffey, and she was banged up in the games this weekend, but waiting to see what the official word is on any of that. Hopefully she can come back, but we'll have to wait and see. But it is now time for them to start SEC play this weekend.
Yep, they'll go on the road to the Bluegrass. They'll take on Kentucky Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Lexington. 5:30 first pitch on Friday, 11 a.m. on Saturday, and 11 a.m. on Sunday before they get a little midweek on the 12th against Texas here at Tiger Park. So a chance to, if you're not going to the Commonwealth, you can check out LSU softball on March 12th at Tiger Park against Texas. All right, let's
and
move.
I believe those Kentucky games will be the start of the radio
it
season
is.
As well.
That's
for
right.
The network.
That's right. So you can tune in on 107.3 and on the LSU Sports mobile app for LSU softball on the radio. All right, let's move to basketball, finishing up the regular season, headed into conference tournaments, and the women's basketball team finishing strong. You know, I've said this many times, that when you look at last year, and I'm not comparing the two teams, but I'm just the momentum and the feel that you get the way LSU women's basketball playing here of late down the stretch, really just dominating. And if you're going to be playing your best, when the calendar flips to March, that's the time to do it. And right now, Kim Mulkey's squad is doing just that.
Yeah, another big win over Kentucky yesterday afternoon. Big crowd at the Assembly Center, including Shaquille O'Neal, who was there to escort Angel Reese out to the floor for halftime senior day ceremonies. Of course, they also honored Haley Van Lith. And we'll, you know, both are noncommittal on what their futures are because there's still a lot of basketball to be played in this particular season. But this team is heading into the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament in great position and will definitely host in the first and second rounds in a few weeks here in the Maravich Center. So a lot of excitement around this women's basketball program as they head to the postseason.
And as we record here today on Monday, as Kent said, they finish up strong, second in the SEC. They know they will play on Friday, March 8th, in Greenville for the SEC tournament. And as we sit here, it'll either be number 7 Auburn or number 10 Arkansas. And they will get underway at 5 o'clock Central Time in the SEC tournament. So it is certainly March Madness time for women's basketball. Men's basketball, they went to Nashville, Tennessee this past weekend, a place where they had not won against Vanderbilt in Memorial Gymnasium since January 2nd of 2016. But the Tigers went over. And, you know, what I liked about the win over Vandy Saturday, 75-61, is the fact that not only did they get off to a great start, 7-0 to start the game, led throughout the first half, had a big lead of 20 points at the half. Even though Vandy a couple of times played much better in the second stanza and tried to get it to single digits, LSU would not let them do it. They cut it to 10 on two occasions, but LSU would quickly answer, build back a 12-14-point lead. Total team effort, 5 Tigers in double figures. Again, if you're playing your best, you want to play it in March.
Yeah.
And right now, Matt McMahon has won 4 of the last 5 contests on the road against Arkansas coming up on Wednesday night, and then we'll finish the regular season against Missouri here at home. Both winnable games. Doesn't mean anything. You got to go out and continue, but I like where this team is trending.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The thing I liked was if you look at the scoring, it was very spread out, very even among like 5 or 6 players, 5 in double figures. But the first half, the ball moved very well. The offense was working well, and LSU was hitting their shots, shooting 56%. And with 7 or 8 three-pointers in those first 20 minutes. So a great effort and a good effort. And then not letting up in the second half, even though the shots didn't fall as much, LSU didn't let up in the second half. And every time Vanderbilt tried to make a run, LSU responded.
Yeah, no doubt. It was defense will travel. You'll hear that from Coach John Brady all the time. You hear it from Coach Matt McMahon. We even heard Hunter Dean say it to us after the game. Defense will travel. So that obviously is becoming a mantra in the locker room for this team, and they certainly delivered on Saturday. The good news is they are 8-8 at 500 in SEC play with 2 games remaining. So a big opportunity there. Major improvement from a year ago, there's no doubt about it. And with the win on Saturday and a couple of losses around the league, LSU avoided having to play on the first night in Nashville, which, again, is a major step forward for this program. So congratulations to Coach Matt McMahon and the Tigers, and looking forward to seeing them in action coming up on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Central Time. It'll be tip-off between the Razorbacks and your Tigers. Gymnastics, again. Win, 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 win. And Jay Clark, we had a chance. We had a late trip to Nashville, so we got to see a little bit of the early action from the Maravich Center because it was an early start in the matchup against Alabama, another top 10 matchup. And LSU, you kind of felt like they got off to a great start on the bars, and they never looked back. Another 198 score, and they defeat number 9 Alabama at home.
Yeah, it's the 198s at home now are becoming very prevalent. And this weekend, they have the meet down at the Raising Cane's River Center, the podium meet, which actually counts as a road score in this NQS system of scoring. So LSU still ranked number 2. I haven't seen today's rankings as we tape, but I would expect that they would either be 2 or 3 after the totals are all made and divided and score dropped and all that stuff. But a good chance to see them if you don't have tickets for the Maravich Center. Good chance to see them at the Raising Cane's River Center here in Baton Rouge in a four-team meet this Friday, and then they'll come home again a week from Friday against North Carolina.
Real quick, Kent, you know this much better than I, but I remember Jay Clark being on our show a couple of times, and he talked about, again, picking up a road opportunity, as it is technically considered, even though it's here in Baton Rouge. It's at the Raising Cane's River Center, of course. It'll be Auburn, George Washington, and Texas Woman's in the Podium Challenge, but it's key because it's the Podium Challenge. Isn't that helpful? When you get to the NCAA, there's something that Jay likes about having a podium challenge
right
in the year.
Well, that is the type of meet that will be held in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center when they have the SECs. And then when you go to the NCAA championships, those events are held on a podium. There's a little bit of, there's obviously some rise to the floor, to the events where they're conducted, and it's just a little different depending on the flooring, the layout, and all. And so this is just a good chance to get used to being not technically on the actual floor but raised up and performing your gymnastics.
Well, speaking of winners, Russell Brock and LSU Beach Volleyball doing a lot of winning early on. They are 8-1 on the season, and coming off a really impressive weekend. Again, everybody we're talking about at LSU is winning. But a great start for LSU Beach Volleyball, as we had Coach Brock on a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it is one of the premier programs in the country.
5-0 in the event this past weekend at the volleyball, beach volleyball facility, and a great way to go. And now more matches ahead as they head toward their championship run in a month or so.
Again, 5-0 over Houston Christian on Saturday, 5-0 over Nebraska on the second. North Alabama loses to LSU 4-1, and then Tulane 3-2 on Sunday. Again, they'll head west to Manhattan Beach. It'll be California on Friday, 11:30 a.m. Central, and then LSU and UCLA later that day at 3 o'clock. So best of luck to them on their trip out west. We got golf in action.
Golf's in action. Both teams are in action. The men are out in San Diego. The women are starting play as we tape on Monday morning at the Darius Rucker Intercollegiate.
South Carolina.
He's hosted this tournament for several years now, and at Hilton Head, he does a concert on the Sunday night for the start play for the golfers. And this is the first regular season spring tournament that the Golf Channel is televising, and they'll be playing Tuesday and Wednesday. 1:30 is the airtime in the Central Time Zone. Great field. LSU won the event last year, trying to defend their title, much as they did a couple of weeks ago in the Moon Golf Invitational. LSU ranked number 4 in the women's golf competition.
Well, we've covered a lot of it, covered a lot of ground here in the first segment, but spring football is upon us, just a week or so away. So we got to talk a little LSU football. We'll have a familiar name, a familiar face going to join us next. Our special guest, Austin Thomas, returning to LSU football. We'll talk to him after this on Play by Play, presented by your friends at The Advocate.
Yeah.
Back with you here on Play by Play, again presented by our friends at The Advocate. We got a lot of things going on. We just run down all the activity for LSU athletics, but something that never stops is LSU football, and that's a good thing. And once again, it's great to be talking football. We're headed into spring football. We'll get into that a little bit, but our special guest this week, returning home, as I like to say, Austin Thomas, who was recently rejoining the LSU football program. as general manager. And Austin, good to have you back. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Chris.
It's real easy when you see an old friend come back to campus. You're like, hey, I know you. And but anyway, it's great to have you back here. And I know you probably, without question, have hit the ground running.
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you guys for having me. Glad to be home. My family and I are really excited to be back here in Baton Rouge. You know, just the area as we've kind of entered the adult phase of our life over the last, 10, 12 years and had our family that we consider home. And so always exciting to be here. It's great to see the, everything that's going on across all sports at LSU. Obviously, everything's trending up. The brands are strong, and it's a great time to be a Tiger.
You know, we were joking before we started to record is you come back to Baton Rouge, which is nice because you don't have to relearn the area. You know the area. All of the great things are still here. Some of the other things that may get a little annoying, is also still here. But you're already prepared for it, so you and your family know what to expect.
Absolutely. Super prepared. We know the goods, the positives, the negatives, the traffic. And there's not very many negatives. So let me just go ahead and throw that out there. But the good far outweighs the cons. And really, again, just excited to be home and be part of this again.
Kent, it's interesting because Austin returns here to LSU football, and he kind of mentioned it. I mean, right now, you look, as we discussed in the previous segment, what's happening across campus within the athletic program. I mean, it's an exciting time to be back here at LSU.
Well, you talked about the brand of LSU. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit and your thoughts about it. We've asked a lot of coaches, a lot of administrators, their thoughts about the LSU brand and how hot it is right now. And maybe you can offer some thoughts on that.
Absolutely, Kent. Just being in the conference and having been around and being at, some other places, when you look at LSU, you look at the brand, you look at the sports teams, it's an extremely strong brand throughout, the country and even the world. And I think that's one unique thing that Coach Kelly and some of the other coaches, as well as the administration, have done a great job with here at LSU, is continuing to elevate the brand. And as strong as it is, it can still ascend to new heights. And I think there's an opportunity for this this school and this university to continue to kind of set the bar from a branding standpoint. And Coach Kelly has done a great job of, putting in some programs that have allowed some of our student athletes to travel the world and continue to expand on who LSU is and what this university represents. And so just a very, very unique opportunity for this school and brand.
It's a very fascinating time, I think, for all sports, but particularly football, because this league's about to grow again. A lot of discussion on what the future will be, 8 or 9 conference games, talent all over the place in this league. You've worked at several schools in this league. This is an amazing group of teams that now, with the addition of teams, it's just gotten better.
Absolutely. No, it's really unique to see the SEC, the conference as a whole, continue to expand and get stronger. And I think that just raises the level of the product, right? And you talked about it holistically, all-encompassing, from coaching to players to support to branding to, everything that you do on a day-to-day basis in these programs has now been elevated. And it's extremely important to keep pushing that envelope forward as we move into a new era of college football, which is extremely exciting.
Chris, and I mean, I'll date myself here, but even I can go back further to my grad school days here when Charlie McClendon was wrapping up and the program was moving forward. It's shocking to me now to look back then at how small the staffs were at that time for college football.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing now how big they are. But when you look at what everyone does, it's a necessary part of the program. People like you, people like the analysts, people who handle little minute chores to get a team ready for a game. It's just amazing how it all blends together to make a successful product. And I think that's, there's so many differences with college football from then to now, but I think that's one of the main differences, is how staffs are so big, but work together so well to create the final product.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that I always say is, you know, we want to provide our student athletes with the best. The best in every area, and Coach Kelly—that's Coach Kelly's philosophy, and that's the you know philosophy of Scott Woodward, the AD, and you know outside of football, right? All of our athletic programs, but whether that's again coaching, training, nutrition, performance innovation, you know NIL, roster management, whatever it is, we are trying to serve our student athletes the best we can and provide them with the best opportunity to grow themselves holistically. You know whether that's personally, professionally, athletically, socially, spiritually, whatever that is, right? It's our job to serve them and give them the opportunity to make themselves the best person that they can be and the most well-rounded individual that they can be when they leave LSU so that they're able to go out into the world, whatever their professional journey looks like, and represent this brand well and be a great ambassador for us.
Austin Thomas, our guest this week here on Play by Play. And Austin, kind of following up on what Kent said, and you hear coaches say this all the time, every coach, especially those here at LSU that compete in the SEC, they will tell you and remind you that, yeah, we're doing everything possible, all the things you just talked about. But guess what? So is everybody else mm-hmm. across the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is nobody that is not trying to chase the very top and do exactly what you just described. Because you've had a chance, as Kent mentioned, throughout the SEC, I mean, you can attest to the fact that while you guys are grinding, it probably helps that you know maybe you're tired. Maybe, hey, you know, it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock at night. Maybe I could go home. But there has to be something in the back of all of your heads that say, you know what? They're probably putting extra minutes at this place or that place. So you just got to kind of dig deep and keep going.
Right. You know, and it goes back to what Kent said a little bit. You have to put, you know, systems in place. You have to have a philosophy in place, and you have to know when and where to strategically invest your time, because the truth is you can't do it all. You can't do it all, but at the end of the day, if you're very smart about what you do, you're efficient in what you do, and you have a group of people working together for a common purpose and a common goal that transcends the individual, right? You know, you're able to rely on each other and lean on each other and kind of get in the ebbs and flows of what needs to happen. At the same time, you have perspective on what everybody else is doing, so you know in, you know, the different phases, the different cycles of the year, what's important and what needs immediate attention, and then what, you know, you can kind of either delegate or you know put to the side so that you're able to invest all of yourselves on a day-to-day basis, because consistency, as you guys know, and you probably hear a lot of coaches say this, consistency is the key to success.
I think it'd be interesting for fans to kind of understand maybe exactly what your role is mm-hmm. in the return here. I use the phrase general manager, which I think is what you're referred to as, but maybe a senior associate athletic director for football. So, I mean, it sounds like a very overseen, kind of really broad. Yes, but I know you've had experience, obviously, in personnel, obviously in recruiting, most recently involved with NIL, which is part of the landscape now. Mm-hmm. So kind of what is your role?
Sure.
If someone were to ask, what do you do every day when you go to LSU?
So really all-encompassing with football, with administration, serving as kind of a liaison between the two. You know, again, personnel is my background, so overseeing personnel and recruiting and just making sure that, you know, we're efficient in the things that we're doing there and our processes, and that we are attracting the best student athletes here to LSU. The NIL space obviously is somewhat new, but have experience there as well. So helping in that area, making sure that, you know, we're aligned and that we have the resources we need, again, to attract the best in the country to come to school here. A little bit outside of football, you know, talking about scheduling, talking about budget, talking about, you know, working with the SEC on various things as it pertains to, you know, football, and whether that's playing rules, whether that's technology, whether that's, you know, just where the conference is going as a whole, kind of our liaison for our program over to the conference as well. And so working with Scott, Kelly Verge, Coach Kelly, and then our football staff, just to make sure that, you know, we're efficient in all of our processes.
Take us through the process of however how it works, maybe not the details, but you get the opportunity to mm-hmm. come back to LSU. You mentioned earlier that the vision and kind of the foundation that Coach Kelly has set here obviously had to be attracted attractive to you to come back. But kind of what were the things that, that you said, you know what, this sounds exciting. This is, this sounds like why I need to once again come back to Baton Rouge, be a part of LSU football.
Growth. I think that's always important as you try to, you know, advance your career and, you know, be where your feet are, but at the same time, you know, grow who you are as a person and grow who you are as a professional. When you look at Coach Kelly, when you look at what he's done, you look at the track record over time, the consistency that he's had, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think he's had 7 10-win seasons in a row, the last two here at LSU. That doesn't happen if you don't have a person that is invested and consistent in what they're doing. And so the opportunity to come grow with him, the opportunity to come grow with a Scott, who I have a relationship with, was extremely important. And, you know, again, as we spoke about the brand, the power of LSU in the conference and the opportunity that we have to continue to ascend and take this program and these sports programs as a whole and athletics department to new heights, it was an opportunity that we couldn't pass. As a family, we sat down, loved what we did, but this was just an opportunity for us to come home and felt like it was just a special one.
I'm curious, what got you or what was your why into getting into this type of job? I mean, you went to Lipscomb, Tennessee, and I guess I should say and Tennessee, so someone doesn't think they merged all of a sudden. But what was it that interested you in personnel, getting involved with a football program, administration, those type of things as you were getting started in this?
Great question. You know, when I look back at it, I know a couple things about myself. I really liked business. I really liked organization. And I really liked football. And not necessarily the X's and O's, but I wanted to know why players were who they were. What traits made them a good player? And it sounds simple, but you know, there are yeah. different traits that make guys, you know, able to play at a level here or you know, whatever that may be. And so that's really where I started and kind of got into it at Tennessee. I actually thought I was going to be a sports agent, so you know, I was going to go to law school and was getting my sports administration master's at Tennessee at the time and kind of got my foot in the door and really enjoyed what I was doing. And just once that kind of took off, I just said, you know, I'm going to jump in with both feet and see where this goes. And I guess 15 years later, here we are. So really, it's been a really exciting journey, one that I wouldn't trade for anything. And I've just been blessed and fortunate to have the opportunities that I have.
As personnel, as you look at personnel, as you look at recruits, I'm sure every coach is different, but is there something that makes you suddenly light up one particular trait when you're looking at video or when you're watching a potential recruit or a potential camper out here in the summer that says, This is a guy who could be an LSU Tiger in the future?
Physically, I think the trait that people always point to is speed, right? You can't coach speed, and when you find guys that can really run, I think that's a really natural, easy one for everyone to point to. I think the thing that I always like to go back to when you're evaluating prospects and who they are, you know, you want to know how well they process. And that takes investigative work, right? That takes, like you said, coming to summer camp, working with them, watching how they're coached, letting them be coached. And then the second thing is, do they have a competitive spirit? You know, how tough are they? Those two things, to me, when you find a guy, and a lot of time you can't evaluate that on their tape, but when you get around them and you're able to do a deep dive into who they are as people and the people that they have around them that are helping them make decisions, and then you put them in a competitive setting where they have to be coached hard, they have to compete, they have to do those things, I think that's really what stands out.
There are the winners and losers in that group sometimes, I would guess,
right.
As far as recruiting
that's right.
goes.
Austin Thomas, again, our guest this week on Play by Play. And I kind of a two-part question, Austin. I mean, again, you're a young man. You got started at an early age, but you've got enough experience now. How different is recruiting at a Power 5 school 10 years ago, and how different is it 5 years ago? And are there, I guess, three-part question, and are there things that are still the same, even with all the changing of the landscape?
Yes. Yeah, so the first, to answer the last part of your question first, what is still the same? This is a relationship-driven business. From the top to the bottom, whether you're talking coaching, recruiting, evaluating, building a staff, how your coaches work together, support staff, all-encompassing, this is a relationship-driven business. If I look back 10 years ago, I think the biggest thing that we can say has changed are staff sizes. It has become a lot more specific skill for positions on staff, as opposed to 10 years ago, I think it was, you know, me and Justin Vincent. I was the director of personnel. JV was the assistant director of personnel. And then we had a recruiting office as well that had two or three people. But that was really it. You know, we kind of caught all. And just as things came, you kind of learn to navigate those things. And actually at that time, I'm grateful for it because yeah. I think that developed me into who I am as far as my skill and the ability to adapt and handle things that you may not be ready for right at the time. But when they come, you have to take those challenges on. And it doesn't mean you're perfect, but you do grow. You grow as a person. And then, you know, as we've kind of the lineage of that has moved, I think it's a continuum. But I think you've started to see this shift a lot more towards an NFL type model as far as the structure. And so, you know, back in 2016, when, you know, I became the GM, that was really unique. And now it seems like everybody has that position. And it's different at different places. And so that's kind of the unique piece of all this is just how different the responsibilities are at all the different universities, depending on who the head coach is and what their vision is. But to me, you know, just staff size and what those positions do as far as serving your coaches and taking as much weight off of them as you can to allow them to be the best that they can be for our student athletes in preparation for games is a big change.
Is there an excitement in the building this week with spring practice ready to begin?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you look at the coaches, you look at the players, obviously a whole new defensive staff. Those guys have been here now for 6 or 7 weeks. Some of them maybe a little bit longer or shorter, but everybody's been ready. We've gone through meetings. We've had our, you know, our OTAs type work and just really, really excited to get on the field and actually start developing our players and start developing a product because it's now a tangible you know, goal that you can start working towards is, you know, spring practice kind of kicks off that for us. And, you know, you have 15 opportunities to work with your guys and really 4 weeks to meet with them and really see where we are and assess where we are going into, you know, the May and the summer when the guys will come back and do their summer training cycle. So really a real foundation now for the season is being laid, and you've got to get a lot of that groundwork done.
And you've got new offensive coordinators who we saw in the bowl game, and the LSU offense looked very efficient for much of that game. So that has to be a little momentum coming into spring practice as well with some new players and faces that played in the game.
Yes, sir. Yes, I think that, you know, it's exciting to see the next wave of talent at LSU and Garrett leading the offense. And obviously, as you mentioned, with Coach Sloan and Coach Hankton as co-OCs, you know, I believe that they're going to do a great job. Both of those guys are extremely bright. They know ball very well. And then you sprinkled in, you know, some seasoned vets, you know, and Frank Wilson, and you have Slate Nagel, who's new, and then, of course, Brad Davis. You've got a group of guys in there that really know what they're doing and have an opportunity to prepare, you know, those young talented players to kind of assume some elevated roles. And I think we have talent. You know, we just need to get to spring practice so that they can go out there and execute.
One of the things, Austin, that I've talked a lot about in, you know, the 2+ years I've had a little interaction with Coach Kelly, I've always been amazed Just from the outside looking in at the organization, mm-hmm. and not only the organization as a thing, but the actual details. And I've said this many times, you know, if I happen to be in football ops, if I'm in the building on a random Tuesday or whatever day of the week it is, it seems that people are moving with a purpose. Mm-hmm. You can just sense it in their body language, in some of the quick conversations you have. Somebody like yourself who is very keen to being organized because you have to be. Mm-hmm. And you've been around a lot of successful coaches. I mean, when you look at what Coach Kelly has done to put in the systems, and you talked about all the, and Kent said, you know, these massive, I mean, you take a puzzle, mm-hmm. the more pieces you have, the more complicated it is.
Right.
And now that these staffs are so big, but yet run so streamlined, your thoughts on Coach Kelly's organization, which I guess is part of the reason he's been so consistent and successful, is that he does have a system, and it seems like it's in place here now at LSU.
Absolutely. The thing that I appreciate about Coach Kelly is he has a vision, and he's an elite communicator. And so he communicates that vision, and then he allows people to do their job. And he has a standard, and he expects that standard to be met. But he's not going to look over your shoulder at all times. He's going to allow people to grow and do what they're here to do at a very, very high level. But he's extremely intelligent. His vision for the program and where we're going in the future is evident when you hear him speak and communicate to our staff, and he holds everyone accountable. And so I've really appreciated that about him and learned a lot from him in my month here so far.
Again, Austin Thomas, our guest. And Austin, before we let you get out of here, Kent talked about the excitement going into spring football, but I think fans would be upset if we didn't ask you. How about the excitement for 2024 as a whole? I mean, again, coming off the momentum of the first mm-hmm. two seasons, mm-hmm. another bowl victory, another 10-win season. Always tough SEC, we know that, but there's got to be just an excitement for what lays ahead, not only in the next couple of weeks, but certainly as we head into the 2024 season.
Yes, sir. Just really, really exciting time to be part of LSU, this program, the brand, the power, the caliber of athlete that we have that, you know, you work with on a day-to-day basis. I think that really excites our staff. But again, the general buzz around the program is positive and really exciting. And I think, man, we're just going to go into spring practice and lay this foundation for what we want to be and know that not all the work's going to be done, but at the same time, you've got to put some processes in place, as we've talked about, to propel us to the 24 season and the opportunity to play a challenging schedule and some great new opponents here in Tiger Stadium. And at the same time, you know, some new SEC opponents on the road kicking off, obviously, with the game in Las Vegas against USC September 1st. So just a great time to be a Tiger and really, really exciting opportunity for us to continue to ascend to where we want to go as a program.
Now, can't see how organized he is. He already knew.
September, I know.
He knows who the matchup is. So he looks.
And
like
I'm just thinking it's not that far away already.
It is not that far. Well, Austin, it is great to see you. It's great to have you back here at LSU. Great to see you in purple and gold.
Yes, sir.
And congratulations, as well as, I won't even say best of luck, but go get after them here in spring football and on into the season. Great to see you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Chris. Kent, thank you so much for having me.
All right, fans, that'll wrap up this week's play-by-play. I want to thank Austin Thomas for taking time out of a busy schedule with spring football just around the corner. Harrison Valentine putting everything together for us, the illustrious Kent Lowe. We thank you for joining us. Hope you'll do it again next week. For everybody, this is Chris Blair saying so long, everybody, and go Tigers!